Hi, and welcome.
I'm Z.
And I'm Keith.
And we're going to tell you about the movie that we just watched. But first, a little bit of a heads up.
Some of the movies we watch deal with heavy subject matters.
In order to talk about these emotionally delicate things and the heavy subject matters that we sometimes cover, we add humor and crude language to add some levity and to process our own trauma.
If that doesn't feel fun or safe for you, we completely understand. Please take care of yourself first and foremost.
And we spoil the end of pretty much every movie that we watch.
Now you know. On with the show. Cha-cha-cha.
Sa-sa-sa-sa-sa. How do you feel about it? How you doing? After that movie.
Los Banditos del Tiempo.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast.
Hello, and welcome.
We're talking again about Time Bandits. In case you don't speak Spanish.
Let me paraphrase.
What the title of the episode is.
Paraphrase. Mm-hmm. William Blake.
Okay.
By saying, you can't steal time without borrowing eternity.
Okay.
It's not that good. Because he said you can't kill time without injuring eternity.
Oh, okay.
Because he was very witty.
Oh, I see. No, my question stands. How you doing?
Not good.
Not good. Pretty nauseous.
We started the film yesterday.
Yep. Well, before we get to it, on Thursday there was a
derecho.
And it was like a big warning. There were like storms are coming. It was literally like a warning on our phone that was like, stay away from windows. Like, I'm not kidding. It literally
was
like,
an emergency alert.
Yeah. It was like, get away from windows because, you know, some debris might fly through the window. So the storm came through, the storm went, and we were like, oh, we're okay. And then the power went off, and then the power stayed off for almost an entire 24 hours for us. But for the rest of the town, it's been 3 days, because Thursday, Friday, Saturday, today's Sunday.
For some.
Some people still do not have power.
It's been tiered, but some people are still without electricity.
Yeah, and I'm like, whoa. So, the whole town, we lost a bunch of food because Keith had been meal prepping. Keith was like, I'm going to meal
prep. Learn my lesson.
And the power went out. And so, we had to throw a bunch of food away. So then the power came back on Friday, 11:30-ish, and then we lost internet, so we didn't we didn't have internet for a while, so we couldn't, and then the internet came back yesterday, and we, just got it back we'd only had it for a couple hours before we were like, let's do Time Bandits, and you were like, okay. And we watched maybe 45 minutes of it. Felt like 3 hours. 52 minutes.
According to the time.
Okay. And Keith was like, I am going to throw up if we keep watching it. I'm paraphrasing, but you did tell me that the idea of continuing made you nauseous.
I did. Yeah. I was struggling all day.
So
exhausted.
Right. Like, it was just, it doesn't sound like being like, oh, we lost power and didn't have internet. It doesn't sound like a lot, but a storm coming through and knocking your power out for 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. Not knowing when the electricity is coming back.
And we kept getting notices that were like, it'll come back when we figure out why it's out. And you're like, ah!
Yeah. Not for nothing. 2 days before the storm.
Yeah.
we had very unhealthy air.
Oh, that's right. Quality. No, it was like the day before the storm.
We had horrible air quality, like, literally from Canadian wildfires or whatever.
Yeah, like the 2 days before, like, because it happened on Thursday. So Tuesday we started getting shitty air quality. Wednesday it was like literally like it was like over 200. It was like 250 or something like that, which is really bad. And then Thursday the air quality started getting better, and then the derecho or whatever happened.
Yeah.
And so it's it has not been great.
It has been a week.
Oh my God. When I tell you it's been a week. Yeah, but seriously, yeah. I've also, like, Thursday happened and then Friday happened.
And then Saturday.
No, and I was like, I literally don't know what day it was. Like, I was like, all that happened on Friday. And then I was like, it didn't happen on Friday. I'm like, what day is it? What the fuck? Yeah. So anyway, so we tried watching the movie last night, and it was like, Keith was like, I can't do it. And I was like, okay, that's fine by me. So we just watched it now. We just finished it now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, how you doing?
Not great.
Yeah.
It precipitated my third dookie of the day, so. If you know what I mean. Let's just, the reviews are in. I mean, we were both, I think, most nervous about this one, or expected the worst from this one.
Yes.
And I think it delivered. It wasn't.
It's going to be my least favorite out of all of them, but it's not as bad as I was prepping for.
Yeah, I was more worried about more gags based on them all being little.
Yeah.
And
I didn't know that. I knew you kept telling me little people were in it, but I didn't know they were the whole, like, that was the movie.
Crew.
Yeah. I didn't realize that. So I just thought it was going to be, I was expecting there to be, like, you know, like a lot of, like, little people running around kind of jokes. And I was like, oh God.
So, like, Wizard of Oz kind of.
Kind of. Yeah. And
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I was expecting there to be a lot more of a Monty Python feel to it. I've never really watched any Monty Python, just to put that out there, because I would not enjoy watching Monty Python if it, like, I've seen bits of it. It is like the opposite. It's the opposite of, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, there's like, it's doing nothing for me. And then it's like, it doesn't make me angry. Like, I'm not like angry watching it. It's just like so little, like it does so little for me that other people get annoyed with me and angry with me.
I see.
Because I'm like, I can't even pretend I understand what's humorous about this. And they're like, no, you need to watch more. And I'm like, no. People always think that if I don't get something, what I need to do is watch more of it.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I can't. Like, what's that? It's got that guy I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Noel Fielding. Right.
Oh, Mighty Boosh.
Yeah, the Mighty Boosh. I can't with that.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
You would. And you showed me a clip from it.
Yeah.
And luckily, you're someone that if I don't respond to something, you're like, well, I'll never be doing that again. Like, you're not.
Yeah, because it hurts my soul.
Exactly. Like, you respond how you're supposed to with. That feels like a rejection. Not that I'm rejecting you. It's just like, that's, you know, I'm like, I can't do this. But like other people will be like, no, it's because you haven't watched this specific one. And I'm like.
Yeah. Well, it's also because I'm not an adolescent.
That's also true. Yeah.
Mostly.
For those, I was going to say barely. Which it seems like I don't like. When I say stuff like this, I feel like it sounds like I'm saying, I really hate British comedy, and that's really not what's happening.
No, I think it just sounds like you don't have a sense of humor.
Well, I just don't like British male comedy.
Mm.
Like, Eddie Izzard's great. Mm. Ab Fab's amazing. You know, if a British woman is saying something, I'm probably going to laugh.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, well, first of all, Monty Python's Flying Circus was sketch.
Right, so, yeah, and it's never going to go over well with me.
My guess is that you don't, the absurdist comedy doesn't do for you what it does for a lot of folks.
Yes.
And I think it's very generational. Like, I feel, I mean, if I'd seen Monty Python at a certain age, it probably would have hit a spot, you know?
Yeah.
And I would have been into it. I did not encounter them until, I don't know, when I was completely unaware. Like, I know I probably had seen, I mean, I saw this as a kid, right?
Right.
But, and I'd seen other Gilliam things. And I think I knew who John Cleese was and that he was supposed to be funny, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember what a big fucking deal A Fish Called Wanda was when it came out.
I was never allowed to watch that because it was too raunchy. I was always told that it was like a dirty movie. I think A Fish Called Wanda, I think they, I don't know if this is actually what, it's just, I always felt like they were saying.
There was like a stink. Puss joke?
Yeah, it was like a dirty joke. The title itself was a dirty joke or something like
that. I don't even know. I have watched it at some point. I remember almost nothing about it.
I'd be interested in watching it just because it's got Jamie Lee Curtis.
It's got Jamie Lee, yeah.
and
she just shits on Kevin Kline's character.
Oh, like literally?
No.
No, okay. I don't know.
He's a guy.
It's a dirty pussy movie.
He's very full of himself. I just remember like one of the scenes that gets quoted all the time and she says to him, no, the main tenet of Buddhism is not every man for himself. he's one. It's kind of great because he's like a white guy who thinks he's into Eastern.
Okay. Maybe I want to watch
and
this.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like a heist movie, I think.
Interesting.
But I don't really recall.
Interesting.
Anyway, it's no January Man. But
nothing,
yeah, I never encountered.
Nothing will ever be January Man.
Like, I think, okay, so when I met Ruth, I know she would refer to, like, the Holy Grail.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Which is a Python movie.
Yeah, I know.
So, but I never saw it until I moved here, actually. I saw it at the Art, I believe.
Oh, wow. I know they showed Life of Brian. That was
Yeah, I don't great. Remember if I've seen that one. I think I've seen The Meaning of Life, which is another one of theirs. I just remember, I think that's where there's this scene about where one of them is teaching a sex ed class. And it's hilarious. Anyway. So, yeah, Pythons. Encountering them as, like, a very young adult, you know, like, it was too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I will say that, like, you know, also as a kid, my teens, I loved Steve Martin and his early shit. It was just absurdist,
right, yeah.
You know, so it's not dissimilar, but I think it's definitely somewhat generational.
Fawlty Towers, is that a
that's John Cleese?
Yeah, I know that like my mom watched that or you know, that was like a thing that I was aware of, but that's all.
I mean, it turns out most of them become total.
I know. I'm kind of, I mean, you could, you know, it's easy to see why I wouldn't be interested in it with my specific brand of autism. But you would also be like, oh, okay, but you weren't really allowed to watch these movies growing up. So I could see myself being like, oh, I wasn't allowed to watch these movies. So this feels extra. But that's the thing I think about them that isn't, it wasn't necessarily that I wasn't allowed to watch them. It was just like, they're not that good, kind of. Like, you're not really gonna. And then when I, you know, any sort of like visual of them, there's so much like, it's sort of like the Three Stooges. It's like a similar thing to the Three Stooges, how like it was just in the like zeitgeist where people would talk about it in like popular media.
Right.
To the point that, like, when you actually saw a piece of it, you're like, it's not that good. It doesn't really need to be talked about that much.
Oh, you know what? I also remember hearing the Dead Parrot sketch, but just audio on probably Dr. Demento. That's a Monty Python sketch.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't know what that means. I wasn't sure if that was something from this movie that I missed.
Sorry. I was sort of off topic.
Yeah, well, you just interrupted my point to say something.
Worth it. And I didn't realize until after just looking at the trivia that this was before Brazil.
Yeah.
I would have guessed after.
I don't. Now I'm like, what the fuck is Brazil? Like.
Yeah.
Because it's what's confusing is that this is a kids movie.
Is it?
Yeah, because they. Well, I'm assuming that's what it was supposed to be because it said that. They were like the producers were like or something were staunchly against because spoiler the parents die in the end and they said they were like absolutely against that and the only thing that changed it was they did a test audience and the kids and asking all the kids when they came out like half of them they were like what was your favorite part of the movie and they're like when the parents blew up and so they kept it which is hilarious but like I think that would have been so upsetting to me as a kid. I would have lost my shit as a kid because of the way it ends. It wasn't humorous to me. It ends where
no, it's not the ending isn't funny. It's fucking ridiculous.
It's horrible. There's so much about it that's like confusing because all of the stuff from the legend of time area or whatever it is. It's all stuff from his room.
Yeah.
Like that area. And so like the implication is that it's not real because, you know, like doing something like that is you're supposed to imply that he imagined it or something.
Or something. And then, I don't know.
And you see Sean Connery as a firefighter.
Mm-hmm. I love that he has to look at his photos for us to...
And then he looks at the photos, so that means it really did happen, or he's just fucking crazy. All of the, like all these firemen, because how it ends is, like, he wakes up, you know, because he's, like, traveling through time with these bandits that are all little people. And he wakes up, like, he gets stranded. They basically all leave him... in this like fortress of evil, which is really sweet. They're like, bye. And then he wakes up with.
And not only do they leave him, God comes and takes them because they work for him, the supreme being, excuse me.
Yeah.
One of them is like, we got to take Kevin with us because, you know, he saved our asses or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, not quite that, but.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Being says, no, well, he has to stay here to keep the fight.
Yeah.
Keep up the fight against evil, presumably.
Right. And so he gets, he's stranded there in this, like, place where no one else exists because everyone else has died. Because the evil person killed everyone because he's evil, obviously, which I did kind of enjoy that he wasn't, like, it wasn't, well, whatever. Anyway. So... Kevin is like stranded. He wakes up with his house being burned down and firemen like breaking down his door to get him. They take him outside. The firemen leave and his parents blow up and die. And then he's just standing outside of his burned down house saying, Mom, Dad. And it ends. And that's it. All of his shit is torched. He has nothing.
Got his Polaroids.
If I had seen that as a kid, the way I would have, like, my mom would have cursed. There's no way, if my mom had seen this before I was born, there's no way she would have ever let me watch it because she would know that when I was a kid, I was very aware of things as a kid. I was very, very aware. So, like, anything where... Like, this kind of thing where, like, a little kid gets trapped and, like, left alone. And there doesn't seem... If people were coming to him or something or if he was getting...
Yeah.
That would be different. But because he's literally stranded all by himself with everything in his life having... I would have had a complete fucking mental breakdown over this as a kid. So I'm glad I never watched this as a kid. I literally would have lost my fucking mind.
Yeah, it's very Roald Dahl in a way, because he always had like all his shit is all kid sinners and all the grown-ups are evil.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. That's fair. Evil grown-ups is fine. But like everybody dies and strands him and like all... Like, no one's coming to his rescue. No one's helping him. God doesn't show up. Nothing. I'm like, that is fucked, man. I was very disturbed by the end.
I thought it was pretty amazing. It's one of my favorite parts of the movie, honestly. That and the guy punching people.
That was good. I liked that part.
Congratulations. Well done. There we are. Well done. Congratulations. Is that absolutely necessary?
Or snow at the
head? Yes. What did he say?
He says, yeah, he's afraid it is.
Ah, fine.
Also, did you read that it was that actor's idea that his dialogue be unintelligible?
That's hilarious now. I did appreciate the John Cleese bit because it felt the least like anything John Cleese I've ever seen.
I mean, I feel like that's one of the bits he can do that's he's good at because he seems posh and he's making fun of that. And apparently the script said it was a satire of Edward, Prince Edward.
Yeah.
Who would go to football matches and then afterwards come down and shake everyone's hand, each player. Or maybe before, but...
Oh, my God. Apparently, I don't know, you probably saw this because you read all the trivia. The guy that played Randall.
Yeah, shout out.
He was basically a fucking asshole. Yeah. He assumed that he was not... Because, like, the 5, 6?
Yeah, I don't remember.
7, something like that?
It's not 7.
Oh, you're right, it's not.
Specifically.
Yeah. I don't remember, but
they were afraid they would get in trouble with Disney.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Or you know, they just
they didn't want
to. I mean, that seems more likely than Terry comparison. Gilliam avoiding a cliche.
Yeah, that's what this movie feels like, just an attempt to avoid cliches.
I failed.
It was a joke on my part.
Oh,
I was joking. That was your joke failed. Yeah, well, your dick failed.
I was really tired.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So he was convinced. I feel like it is not. The IMDb trivia is not phrased very well, but he was convinced that he was...
Well, there's two entries about this. Okay. And the other one doesn't mention that. One says he just thought he got the... Like, his size was irrelevant to his casting.
Yeah.
And because of that, he separated himself.
Yeah.
But there's another one that just said, yeah, he didn't socialize with anybody because he, like, basically stayed in character.
But why would that?
I don't know.
It's so fucking... But still, whatever. He seemed to be an asshole. So that's, like, really weird. But imagine that you're like, oh, hey,
assholes come in all sizes.
Clearly. But imagine being like, I got the job based on my acting ability, unlike you all.
Yeah. I know. I believe that's known as self-hating.
You're all actors.
I was going to say, I thought like, the guy who played Wally was my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, that scene where he's after Fidget is killed and he's going to go. I was like, that's... His face
is red.
And I'm like, oh, no,
yeah.
I feel it.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
It wasn't your fault, Wally.
It was his fault.
Get down, Wally.
Get down, Wally.
Get down, Wally.
Come here.
Come on, back.
Stop.
Come on.
And he was like, when Fidget dies, and he's just like, Fidget's dead. And he's like, he really is just like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you're right, bro. You're the only actor here. Yeah, what I the know, fuck? Yeah, like, I don't understand.
And he's good. He's fine.
Who?
David Rappaport, who played Randall.
Randall's good. quick shout out. We got to shout out Randall.
Yeah.
Because when we didn't have any fucking power, our beloved patron and friend Randall brought us. I mean, I know he gave us like a battery powered strip for whatever charging our phones. I don't know what the technical term is. He helped us charge phone with technology. But more importantly,
coffee.
He brought us coffee because we didn't have anything. And I swear to God, whatever. If we ever do anything more with the pod, he'll be first to get whatever it is. It meant a lot, okay?
It did.
I take coffee seriously.
We both got up in the morning looking like Kathy from the cartoon Kathy.
I swear to God, I sat on the couch and I was a little, because he brought us coffee from a place. So it was in a, what do you call it? Paper cup or whatever. From a
to-go.
Yeah, a to-go cup. Thank you. I couldn't think of it. And I had to pour mine into a coffee mug and do it all. I'm But I just literally was sitting on the couch and just we're just sitting out. You're looking out the window and I was so nice to have coffee.
It's when you see someone sitting on the back of the ambulance with the...
Yes, literally. That's what it felt like.
Foil blanket.
That's exactly what it felt like. I was it truly felt like a fucking, ambulance weird, or something. So ambulance.
Ambulance.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all. Thanks, Randall.
There are some, this is one of those films that it's really rough because you see how much work it went into it.
Yeah.
There's amazing sets and visual effects and everything. Yeah. And I'm just what the fuck? I don't care about anything that happens. I don't care about any of the characters. Really.
Mm-hmm.
Wally. I grew on me.
Kevin was fine.
He's all right.
In the sense of they don't do a lot to, they don't do, I was thankful that it kind of gets right to it. You don't have a lot of, that was always the hardest thing for me as a kid in a movie where there's
you gotta see the happy family and you gotta see
there's so much beforehand and you're just get to the fucking fantastical part. I don't give a shit. I'm I live this horrible kid's life every day. I don't want to see it on
him getting shoved into a locker room or whatever.
I'm god damn it. Fucking just get to the point. I want to fucking see unicorns, god damn it. But the thing that was so confusing. Yeah,
take that never ending story. Where he gets thrown in a dumpster, I think.
Oh, I don't remember. Yeah. Oh man.
Or no, that's how the bullies get their comeuppance at end. Yes.
Where he's just flying Falcor. Falcor chases
through
them
Manhattan
into,
or whatever.
Yeah. Falcor chases them into a dumpster or something like that. Anyway, the thing that's confusing to me is there's a horse that comes through. I mean, it was crazy. A horse comes through as.
From out the wardrobe.
Yeah. Which it would be fine if that's how anything worked in the rest of the movie. Mm-hmm. Because he looks over and his bed is in, the Middle Ages in the woods.
Oh, yeah, right.
There's a horse. And then he's back in his room and, whatever.
And then the bandits come out of the wardrobe.
And then the next night, he gets... Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it's
you're right. That's right, because he steals the torch.
He gets, all this stuff ready in case it happens again, which is fine. That's fine. But then they come out of the bandits come out of the wardrobe. And they push his wall away.
Super cool. I remember that was very striking when I was a kid.
It looks cool.
Yeah.
Nothing happens again the same way. That is not how it works at all. A door opens for the rest of the movie. When they go through time, a door just opens. So it doesn't make any sense.
It just materializes.
Yes. It just
they don't do anything.
Right. They're like, it's over there. And I'm like, and yep. seemingly it's almost like they can make it happen. Like other times in the movie, they'll be like, right. 3, 2, 1, now. And then they'll be like, where is it at? I can't tell. It's somewhere around here.
Yep.
I'm like, which is it?
Yeah.
Terry Gilliam. Which is it?
You sure about that?
You sure about that, Mr. Gilliam? But yeah, I couldn't, like, that was the part that was like, and again, I'm not saying like, oh, this fantastical movie where
I know dumb I can only shit happen. Suspend my disbelief right. so far.
But I'm like, you didn't have to, like, if it stayed that way, it would have been more interesting. But yeah. It was like, let's make it where you don't really know what's going on, and then we'll put constraints on it out of nowhere. Okay, why?
Yeah.
And then when they get, I really, the part that pissed me off, other than the very end, the part that I really hated was when they are walking on the beach and Randall is like, it's anywhere around here. It's right here. We're really beach. Close. Yeah.
We're going.
And that's what it looked like
oh,
to
it's
me.
A desert.
It's a desert.
You mean when they beach. Hit the invisible? Yeah.
It's a desert? Yeah. I thought there was water. Okay, whatever. So they hit it.
They come from the sea.
Yeah. Right. I thought it, well, whatever.
Well, apparently the guy, the little house that gets stepped on by the giant yeah. is a tie-in to
yeah.
a Python movie. Like that character is.
Yeah.
In Meaning of Life or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So they hit an invisible wall and they can't move past it. It's like a physical wall mm-hmm. that they literally can't move past because they don't see it. And he's like, we're here. And they're like, we're nowhere. They're like, you've gotten us. And they're walking back. And I'm like, I don't understand why, if you're going to the Fortress of Evil, why you think it's not going to be cloaked or hidden or something. And when you get to an invisible wall, you're just like, well, this invisible wall is proof that there's nothing yeah. here.
Yeah.
And you've stranded us.
So I like that all it took to break that invisible
was a plastic was skull.
Throwing something at it.
I know. After they all crashed into it with yep. their entire bodies yep. and
well, they
French kissed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it breaks. I didn't think it looked kind of cool when it broke.
It looks cool, yeah. but.
But the way that they all respond to that, mm-hmm. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
Correct. I like that half of the movie is Kevin being like, no, don't do it.
You guys, I don't understand what's wrong
with
you.
You guys, it's a trap.
Also, him being like, why do you care about money? Why do you care about money? Get it?
Children are so innocent.
And the fact that he's like, I wanted to stay in ancient Greece with Agamemnon. Okay, cool.
Bitch,
have
what?
Fuck. Have fuck. Have fun.
Have fuck.
Have fun dying at 22 from an infection that could have been easily prevented, yeah, even if maggots were
an old man
yet.
Did you in the butt? I mean, he's probably too old for that, but
at 22, I would say.
Yeah. What? That's what you look like.
You know what you look like?
What?
You look like a fucking butthole.
I like that Agamemnon spoke English.
I like that Agamemnon's wife was played by Monica with braids from that episode of Friends where she gets braids in her hair.
Mm-hmm.
I also like that Agamemnon's wig just looked like they found it on the side of a road after it had been run over by a truck and just put it on his head.
I feel like that's probably what hair looked like, you know?
Well, wigs. It was just ugly.
Yeah, well,
I like Sean Connery's fucking tattoo. You know, how Agamemnon had fucking arm tattoos.
Of,
like, sailing or whatever. Like,
fucking...
This was a good movie. There's no complaints. 10 out of 10, I'd recommend.
Yeah, no, it hits all the...
Yeah. I think what is frustrating about it is, like you said, like there's so many things about this that could have been so interesting.
Yeah.
I will say this. This does feel like a very white dude sort of thing.
Yes.
To like basically get a hard dick about different periods of time, especially around war.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what about this famous battle? And I'm like, oh, wow. It's like, it reminds me, it's like the opposite, but sort of the same thing where like white people are like, imagine a dystopian future. Yeah. And you're like, and then they're like, where you were the one oppressed. And you're like, you're just describing what it's been like.
This is a great transition to what I'd like to read.
Please.
In 2003, Terry Gilliam told Salman Rushdie about defining experiences in the 1960s that set the foundations for his views in the world. To be noted, he's born in the U.S. He's American.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Terry Gilliam? And then immigrated.
I didn't know that.
And has since renounced his American citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, I became terrified that I was going to be a full-time bomb-throwing terrorist if I stayed in the U.S. Because it was the beginning of really bad times in America. It was 66, 67. It was the first police riot in Los Angeles. My emphasis there. In college, my major was political science, so my brain worked that way. And I drove around this little English Hillman Minx, top down, so meaning a convertible. And every night, I'd be hauled over by the cops, up against the wall, and all this stuff. They had this monologue with me. It was never a dialogue. It was that I was a long-haired drug addict living off some rich guy's foolish daughter. And I said, no, I work in advertising. I make twice as much as you do. Which is a stupid thing to say to a cop. And it was like an epiphany. And it was like an epiphany. I suddenly felt what it was like to be a black or Mexican kid living in LA.
Suddenly I felt like when the cops were just kind of rude to me, I knew exactly what it was like to be a minority.
Before that, I thought I knew what the world was like. I thought I knew what poor people were. And then suddenly it all changed because of that simple thing of being brutalized by cops. And I got more and more angry, and I just felt, I've got to get out of here. I'm a better cartoonist than I am a bomb maker. So that's why so much of the U.S. is still standing.
Because
he didn't stay and make bombs. So thanks.
Thanks
for opting out.
Oh, Terry Gilliam. Oh, no. Why would you say that?
In 2003.
Oh, my God. Like, I don't want to toot my own horn, but because some cops didn't lick my asshole like they should have, I know what it's like to be black or Mexican, not Chinese though, or even Japanese. I know what it's like to be black or Mexican, and there's no other minorities that exist in the U.S. And also, I'm amazing.
We did say L.A.
Okay, but he moved out. He didn't just move out of L.A.
There are only two ethnicities that aren't white.
It's true, especially in Holly.
How about those scenes with Michael Palin and Shelley Duvall?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I guess they had to have somebody to fall onto.
Yeah. Well, apparently, Terry Gilliam built this, like, I don't know, there was some sort of like thing they were supposed to jump off of so that they, or I don't know.
Yeah, and the first time when they fall onto Michael Palin and Shelley Duvall, they're in a carriage or like a, yeah.
And he built something, or there was
scaffolding for them to jump off of land onto them.
Yeah, so that they would directly avoid landing on her. And when Terry Gilliam demonstrated it, he jumped directly onto Shelley Duvall. So I guess
pretty good summary.
So I guess Stanley Kubrick wasn't the only one that put her through hell. I saw some thread.
No caller ID is calling.
I saw some thread on Twitter that was like, I'm going to explain to you why Stanley Kubrick never actually did any harm to Shelley Duvall. They're like, good. You need to understand, like, good. I'm obsessed with Shelley Duvall, and like I know everything about her, and like I know all these things about like The Shining.
Good place to
start. And I was like, and then it was just like years later, she said this or this or this, probably. And I was like, I actually don't care. I'm like, you don't. It's not that he ruined her entire life. It's that he was shitty to her on this set. And that can be true. And it doesn't mean that, like, he literally, like, killed her. It just means that, like, his behavior was bullshit. And that's fine to say that. Like, you can... Ugh.
Yeah. You don't need people to survive sexual assault.
Exactly. Right. You know what? Like...
And all kinds of other...
Right. People... Just because, like, it didn't literally ruin her life... Which I don't think anyone is saying that it did. I don't know why. They're like, it wasn't actually as bad as everyone's making it out to be. I'm like, you don't have to. Nothing quite says, I feel for this person. Like, it's not as bad as everyone's making it seem like it is.
Stop picking on Kubrick.
I really love Shelley Duvall. And that's why I'm telling you that whatever she went through wasn't
fine.
That big of a deal. Okay.
I really care about this person.
And that's why I'm saying don't worry about them. They're fine. They don't need your help. Anyway. Yeah.
Did you see that, was it four of the bandits, the actors who were the bandits, were also in Return of the Jedi?
No, I didn't see that. Not surprising, though.
Three of them playing Ewoks.
Yeah.
One of them was R2.
Oh, was it Fidget that was R2?
Yeah, it was.
It was?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
Johnny
He looked really familiar
Baker?
To me, so. Huh? He looked really familiar to me, so.
He doesn't look like R2. Fucking idiot. Kenny Baker.
Okay.
Also, okay, I will say David Warner was amazing. He was great as the evil...
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. He was great.
I cannot be unmade. I am all powerful.
But why, if that's the case, are you unable to escape from this fortress?
It's a good question.
Also, the way him and his minions and the evil fortress or whatever,
yeah.
All that aesthetics were amazing.
Yep. There was
I love
so
how
much
the
little...
his henchmen or whatever were more gross than Baron Harkonnen to
yeah.
me. Like, and they're just wearing like raincoat or like
they're
ponchos.
Wearing like raincoats with like molasses in them or something.
Yeah.
Oh, so gross.
It's
yeah.
So kudos to that.
But I liked his chest plate, like if you looked closely, like it looked like there was blood all down the front of it.
Oh.
And right, I was like, oh man, there's so much cool detail in all of this stuff that yeah. I feel like is not like you don't see it enough.
Yeah.
So that's
well, that's what about? I mean, that's one of the hardest things about this movie to me is like everything is treated with the same.
Yeah.
Like that's why it's hard the way it starts.
Yes.
Me, I'm like. I don't know what I'm supposed to be paying attention to. There's
a lot
being thrown at me.
Yes.
The dialogue is all barely audible.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a remastered version, by the
right.
way.
Right, yeah. I'm not surprised.
I mean, it was made for a mere $5 million, so.
Yeah, in the 80s, that was still
but it actually made money, I guess.
Yeah.
It made its money back opening weekend, so.
Yeah. I mean, I can see why people would love this movie.
It made enough money to be on CED cartridge.
Yeah, I can see why people liked this movie, especially in 1981 when there weren't as many options of movies out there that were any good.
The floating head looks good. Looks great.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's like really cool in concept, which again, like we've both said, that's what feels frustrating the most about this movie is that like...
That's what Brazil feels like too.
Okay.
Or my memory of it. I haven't seen it in a long time. I also fell asleep watching it. Oh, no. That's why I think you fell asleep watching it. You've never watched
it. I've never watched it. No, I fell asleep watching a different movie with my ex-girlfriend who got mad at me because I fell asleep after working until 11 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
and having to get up the next morning to have four teeth pulled. I came home from work. They put on a movie with subtitles where I had to watch it with my ex-girlfriend and the person she left me for. And I fell asleep. And afterwards, she was like, did you like it? And I said, I fell asleep. And she got livid. And I said, I'm just kidding. I didn't. And she was like, oh. I was like, it was good. I liked it.
What was it? Liquid Sky?
No, it was like A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Oh.
It was like, I'm sure I would like it, but I have so much trouble staying awake with subtitles for whatever reason. And again, why Antanage Watt was so,
so
fascinating that I did not fall asleep at all. Despite its like 3.5 hour runtime. Anyway, whatever. None of that matters. So
yeah. This movie kind of feels like, you know how I remember people would complain about Bill and Ted's sort of feeling like, well, I don't know if people complain this way. It has a phone booth. Mm-hmm. And so people were like, oh, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
This feels like if someone was making Doctor Who but had only seen Bill and Ted's.
That's really mean to say about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure because I love that movie. It's such a good movie.
It's not a diss on that movie.
Yeah.
It's just if you were trying to make Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And that was your source.
I mean, the one thing I will say about Bill and Ted's is that it is an actual phone booth. It's not pretending to be a phone booth.
Okay.
And
it's
like,
not a TARDIS.
Yeah. It's not like it's an actual phone booth that is see-through. You can see inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when, like, they all have to fit inside the, like, whenever they pick someone else up, they all have to fit inside.
Sardines.
Yeah. So, anyway, whatever. So that's why it's different than Doctor Who.
I stand corrected.
Thank you.
I stand down. Jesus.
Yeah.
Would you recommend?
Would you?
No.
No? I would say if you like Terry Gilliam and you don't get easily bored.
Who are you? That's what I would say.
then you might enjoy it. I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't say, oh, you should watch this. If someone described something that they wanted to see in a movie and it sounded similar to Time Bandits, I'd be like, well, there's Time Bandits, but I wouldn't like out of nowhere recommend it. Like, I might ask someone if they'd ever seen it, but I wouldn't tell them that they should if they hadn't.
Yeah.
Have you seen Time Bandits? No. Is it good? Anyway, but I'm glad we finally watched it.
Yeah, I definitely had to get it out of my system.
Oh, yeah.
And it definitely is out.
Honestly, you can cut this out if you want, but I was so, you reacted so badly last night.
Yeah.
That I got really scared that something bad happened to you as a kid when you watched this film the first time, and it was like a repressed memory coming out. I was honestly, I was like,
God.
I was like, oh no. And I was like, how do I broach this topic, because I was like, if this happens again when we start to watch it today, if he like starts getting physically sick because we're watching it, I'm like, I'm gonna have to like try to like help him or out of whatever this is. So how am I supposed to? And I was like, I don't know how to do this.
Well, that's sweet.
Yeah,
you were planning.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know.
No, I was just.
It's fine.
It was ridiculous that I thought I could do it last night. You know, at all.
That's fair. Yeah. Oh man, I'm really. You were like, how do you feel about watching it and recording today? And I was like, thank fucking God, because I don't want to prolong this. I was like, same. I really don't want to be like, let's finish it tonight and then record.
I have a real aversion to watch a recording right after watching because of how shitty I felt about my part in, I think it was Candyman.
Oh, right.
That we recorded right after watching.
Why did you feel?
I don't know. I just, when I listened back editing, I was like, oh God, I sound like such a turd. Nothing interesting to say. I was like falling over my words and shit. I just.
This is why we could never do the podcast drunk. Not because
I would have no problems.
You would have no problems recording.
Right.
Listening back, you'd be like, we have to re-record the whole episode.
True.
You'd be like, I can't do this. You'd be like, I said, I don't know why I said any of that. I hate how I sound. I feel like I sound drunk. You'd just be like, no, that's an episode we'll never. Me, I'm like, get me drunk and then let me talk about tennis.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Yeah.
For the pleasure of Zeus and our mutual enjoyment.
I definitely.
Living under the villain Tenet.
Yeah, I agree with you. This was the one I was most nervous about. And I think this is the one that I probably will have enjoyed the least out of all of them.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Ether Rich has been, it's in the lead so far. That was surprising. Let me tell you this.
I'm now certain that all my birthday choices are going to all feel not great. Critters, maybe.
I'm really excited about Critters. I'm actually excited. I'm excited to finally watch Risky Business after having never seen it in my entire life. The movie's older than me and I've never seen it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to watch it, just to say that I watched it. And I'm very much excited about Critters. Just seeing, like, it's going to be.
Hopefully it'll be a nice palate cleanser after.
It looks similar to. I think it, like, it is feels reminiscent, at least, like, it, when I looked up. Because I always grab an image to put in the slideshow for, like, what we're showing and when.
Yeah.
For the month.
Before
we've actually watched. I mean, like, unless I've already watched the movie or whatever, or have it, you know. But it brought forth the same, like, I'm not saying it is the same type of movie or it'll be the same type of movie, but, like, just the
vibe.
Yeah, the vibe definitely reminded me of, like, Chud-like images that I looked up.
Nice.
Like, so I'm like, oh, this is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think it's meant to, you know, be that.
Right. So, and there's a bunch of, like, sequels. That's what it is. I'm like,
yes.
Remakes was all I could think of. And I'm like, that's not, there's a bunch of sequels. Yep. So even if it's not good, it's good enough in whatever degree, like whether it's, like so bad, it's good or so good, whatever. Anyway, so good, it's bad. You know, those movies, so good, it's bad. But
Citizen Kane.
But yeah, I am excited about the next two. So we got through the hump of the month.
So to speak.
Yeah. Time Bandits.
Whew. Why?
It was because of you.
No, I know me, but Terry Gilliam, why?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
We watched Fisher King a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And that actually held up. I enjoyed that.
12 Monkeys.
Oh, yeah. I could give that one another
try. That's solid. Maybe. That one's a solid for me. That one's really good.
Also involves time travel.
It does involve time travel, but it is very weird. Minutes.
That's plenty. That's more than enough. It's more than this movie deserves.
You heard it here last, folks.
Stealing time, I've been stealing time, but I don't feel guilty 'cause the time was mine.
And it was like an epiphany.